So good morning, everyone. I'd like to introduce our host for today, Monty Deeb from Olympia, Washington. We all love him and love it when it's his day to talk. So he's a gold distributor in NECAN. Monty.
Good morning. Thank you, Ruth. Appreciate that very much. Glad to have you all on the call today on a good old Friday here where we're going to wrap up the end of the week. And I'd like to kind of go through and just summarize real quickly in regards to some of the things that we discussed on from Monday to Thursday. Now, if you need to, if you did miss a day and you want to go back and find it and listen to it, you certainly can. All you got to do is go to allswell.org, and then click on Healthy Choices, and you can find the recordings of what we discussed, and you can catch up. And I had to do that on one particular day here myself. But on Monday, Ruth talked about the war we have going on within our bodies with inflammation. And it's kind of important because when foreign invaders attack our body, she talked about cytokines and immune cells and how they pretty much come to the rescue. And she also talked about eating the right foods and how they quiet inflammation. And we increase, and basically by eating the right foods, we increase our immunity to fight inflammation. And we're finding through teaching and studying that inflammation is one of the bad factors of our body, and that's one of the main causes of disease. On Tuesday, Martha Sue, on her Terrific Tuesday, happened to mention how sometimes it's difficult to make right choices, but to be accountable to herself and ourselves. And I find that true even myself, is that sometimes I do things and I think, oh, that wasn't the right thing to do, or eat the right particular type of food, but don't necessarily come down on ourselves too hard that we're not following the particular program the way that it should be followed or whatever, but just to understand that we can get back on the right course and to be accountable. And they also talked about the food chart. Martha Sue talked about the ledger and how that was important to her in getting back on the track and doing the right things. And don't be discouraged, or don't be disgusted, just become more accountable, and that is basically to ourselves. They also talked about printing off a food chart and carrying it with them when they go to the grocery store, and I think Karen talked about she makes her smaller and laminated it, and so that way she can carry it with her. On Wednesday, Mary Helen talked about how important it is to encourage each other, and I think that's real important. When we're on this call, we're a support group, and we're here for one another and to, you know, if somebody has a particular situation and they would like to talk about it, you know, we can come up with some great ideas. Mary Lou talked about how she's now up to walking three miles a day, and she did it in 58 minutes. And like Mary Helen said, that is an amazing thing, and I think it is too. It's just, you know, and I'm sure, Mary Lou, I know you're on here, and I know that makes you feel good, not only physically, but just to know that you're stretching it out there, and that's the important thing to do. Thursday, Ruth talked about something I think was very important, and she called it the dragon of despair, and I think it was frustration on death. And she had a slide that she presented on the WebEx that I think is one of the better slides that we have in regards to explaining exactly how the cytokines and immune cells and inflammation and or causes of disease, and then she talked, and then she was able to bring up on the slide the NECAN products that we have to fight those particular things. And if you haven't seen that slide, that's why it's one of the important reasons to be on the WebEx, is because we do talk about things, and we have visual things that Ruth puts on the WebEx to basically support what it is that we're talking about. And basically, to be that eating becomes a habit, and how if you get in the right habit, how much healthier we can become by eating the right things. People shared what they put in their smoothies, and it's like this morning Ruth put up a recipe that came from the Nancy and Fred Gilmer, and it was about a smoothie that she brought up, and I think that's real important. And again, thank you, Nancy, for sending that in. We certainly do appreciate it. And again, as Ruth talked about on Monday, we kind of ended the call on Thursday and knowing that we are at war, but we're going to win this war, and I think that's real important. And that kind of wraps it up to the summary. Does anybody out there have anything else you'd like to say that maybe during the week that maybe was kind of an uh-huh to you or a wow or whatever? Okay. What I'm going to do at this particular time is, you know, we are reading a book called The Abascal Way to Quiet Inflammation for Health and Weight Loss. So I'm going to go through a little bit on that and talk about this morning about proportional eating and why the principles of it, of the plan, and why it's so important. And, of course, we know we need to eat. And the other thing I like about what we're doing now is there's no portion control. In other words, there's no limit on the amount of food we can eat, nor is there a minimum amount that we need to eat. We do not count calories, and we do not monitor portion sizes. Instead, we focus entirely on eating the right foods in the right proportions at the right times. And this is what quiets inflammation. And as we get healthier, our body moves toward a healthy weight without having to fret over calories. And I know as I've gained and a lot of weight over the years and lost a lot of weight over the years, I found that one thing that was kind of got a little disgusted with it, I guess, put it in layman's terms. In other words, what we mean by eating proportionally, in other words, like if you had one-third of a fish count and one-third of it on a plate, it counts as a protein, and two-thirds vegetables, as an example. You might have a meal of one-third brown rice, or it counts as a grain, and one-third vegetables and one-third fruit. And a snack might consist of simply nothing more than an apple or an avocado with salsa, or a handful of nuts, which would be one-third protein with two handfuls of grapes. For the most part, proportions are visually. In other words, we look at a plate and we determine what it is that we need to put on that plate based upon fruits, vegetables, and proteins. Eating proportionate allows us to continue making many of our favorite dishes. And I know that's one thing that sometimes when people look at a particular program, they look at it and they go, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can follow that or eat these particular type of foods. But one thing we need, and I'll use an example here. She uses an example in the book, and it says, for instance, that let's say you like chicken curry, okay, and you love it. But basically, chicken curry is heavy on the protein and very light on vegetables. So in order to eat proportionately, all you have to do is look at that and then determine to bring your meal into balance, you need to become more heavy on the vegetables and that sort of thing. So we can pretty well look at what our meal looks like and what we have on our plate and determine what it is that we need to, I'll use the word supplement, to eat the proper proportionate. And sometimes, and unfortunately, you know, in our Western diets, we kind of put the protein on the plate first and then kind of go around it and determine what else that we need on that particular thing. But she also suggests here in the book that sometimes we need to put the vegetables and fruits or whatever we're going to have on our plate first and then put the protein on, and that way we can become more basically in balance. And we need to eat the three meals a day and the two snacks. Very important. And the reason it's important is that we get all the nutrients on a regular and consistent basis. Eating healthy meals and snacks regularly ensure that this happens. It helps to reduce food cravings and things that basically pretty much make us hungry. Now, snacks are also important because our livers, and I talk about this a little later, but are important because our livers may not maintain our blood sugar levels very well between meals. And I know that I found this true in my life, and I know other people have talked about it on the program, and that is we go too long without food, we experience basically low blood sugar levels. And that can pretty much cause headaches, jitterness, fatigue, a craving for sugary foods. So that we need to eat frequent and regular meals and snacks make it easier for the liver to maintain our blood sugar levels. And this makes it easier for us to stay on the particular program that we're on. And in this TQJ, which is the to quiet inflammation way of eating, that is very, very important. Remember that if eating snacks, it's a struggle. And I know sometimes I find, for me, sometimes it is. Snacks may be as large as you wish. In other words, if let's say you're not too hungry, but you know that you need to eat something to keep your blood sugars equal, then maybe something simple as a grape, as she talks about. Or maybe if you're hungry, maybe a good order of fruits or vegetables. That can be considered as a snack. Basically, on how you feel when it comes time to that snack determines the amount of the snack that you should have. Anybody have any questions about that so far? Now, one of the most important meals of the day, of course, is breakfast. And we need to eat that breakfast, and the teaching of Kathy in her book here is that that's one of the first things that we should do in the morning. And it's crucial to begin the day with a good breakfast, that each night as we sleep, our body repairs itself. And any time this repair process uses up the body's stores of our amino acid, our antioxidants, vitamins, and other nutrients. So we've depleted them over the evening, so what we need to do as soon as possible is get something into our body so that when we should, and then not only that, but when we wake up with an appetite, and our first meal should rebuild our stores of those dependent compounds. Now, the fruits and vegetables provide needed antioxidant, vitamins, and other nutrients, and the protein basically helps our muscle masses. Now, grains, she believes that grains do not contain any nutrient missing from our fruits and vegetables. They do, however, and I find this to be very, very true, they provide sugar and fats in our bodies. And that's one of the things that we don't want the first thing in the morning. We want that good protein and carbohydrates because that's what helps build our energy. Most of us, and unfortunately in life, we kind of used to a very different breakfast because most of our breakfasts over the Western way of eating primarily basically is grains. And we get up in the morning and we either have toast or coffee or a more substantial granola or oatmeal.
That is, Monty, yeah. I certainly have found that to be true. I found that, for myself anyway, I didn't know if it works for everyone else. And when I went to this class, I was really surprised that she said that because I had decided, no, I'm never having grains. I love granola, and I like granola and yogurt together. But I decided I was never eating that in the morning again because it just would knock me out. And I had already noticed I could eat it in the afternoon, I could have it for lunch, I could have it for dinner, and it wouldn't knock me out. I don't really understand entirely why I could eat it one time and not another, but as long as I have my protein and the vegetables exactly like you're talking about, I have really good energy and more mental clarity. And so I have proven that for myself. And so that's one of the reasons I guess I'm really excited about this. The things that she has said are the things that really work for my body. And I don't think I'm that much different than everybody else.
No, I don't think you are either. But, you know, and one of the things that we often eat breakfast, and the food that we eat triggers the adrenaline release to the jumpstart the day. Like sugars, refined carbohydrates, caffeine, and foods are sensitive, but to cause the flow of adrenaline. And what that basically does is it gives us a momentarily boost of energy. And unfortunately, grains are short-lived. And what happens then when we have those grains or oatmeals or whatever is we get that large amount of sugars and fats into our body and we get that adrenaline rush, but the problem of it is that all of a sudden, 2 hours later, we crash. And it's kind of, in a couple calls a few years ago, I know we talked simply about, you know, that's one of the reasons why do employers have a coffee break, we'll call it, at about 10 o'clock or 10:30. And that's because of the way that people eat in the morning. They get that shot of sugars through those grains and everything like that, the toast, whatever, the coffee, which has caffeine in it. And then all of a sudden they start to grow. They figure that out, and that's why they give people coffee breaks for 10 or 15 minutes, whatever, to go out and get that what? Cup of coffee, because all of a sudden, or get a snack, or eat a roll, or do something, because it slams the carbohydrates in there, jacks up the sugar, the energy comes up, and that gets them through to what? Noontime. And then somewhere between noon and the time they get off work, they have what? They get another 10 or 15 minute snack break, or a coffee break, they call it. And that's the reason is because the body needs that energy. And that's why it's so important to eat, not to what I'll call grazing, but we need to basically pretty much eat those snacks and main meals is because that way we keep that in balance. Now, one thing about breakfasts is that she feels a little bit different. She feels that instead of having a third of protein and two-thirds either fruits and vegetables, she believes that we need the protein. So she actually sometimes, you'll notice here on the chart that's on the WebEx, that on the breakfast, she sometimes goes to a half a protein, a half a plate of protein, to a half a plate of fruits or vegetables. And I think that's very important. So, and that's when we need to get our protein in our body, because that's when we basically get the gist where we're at and give us some more energy. Like I talked about earlier, we don't graze. And the reason is, between meals and snacks, we do not eat anything because food, we don't eat anything. Because food basically may trigger the release of insulin. Now, I'm not really going to get into that too deep today, but basically when we eat food, our body and our liver, our pancreas, secrete insulin. And what insulin does is that it doesn't allow other things within our body, our other hormones that are in our body and the way that our body functions. If we eat constantly, then we're in an insulin, what they call an insulin state. Our body has always got insulin in it. And our body doesn't need those high shocks of insulin in it. It needs to be on a consistent and basic basis. And we also avoid stretching out our meals by working in between bits of food. Now, I know, you know, I've found that so true over the years for me. If I get into a project and I'm doing something, instead of, when noon comes, instead of sitting down and eating lunch, I'll maybe go in the kitchen and fix something and then come back to the computer or whatever it is that I'm doing, and then I'll do what I'm doing and take a few bites and do what I'm doing and doing something else. And the problem with that is that we eventually end up grazing over the course of the day, which create problems. The other thing that I find is real important, as she talks about, is we don't eat before bed. And that's something that we stop eating altogether 2 to 3 hours before going to sleep. And there's two main reasons for us to do this rule. And they have to do with growth hormones and what we call leptin cycles. Now, once we are adults, when we're young, we have a lot of growth hormones in our body. And that's what causes, of course, our growth. But when we become adults, and we adult height, we produce less growth hormones. And as adults, we have one predictable daily burst of growth hormone, and that basically occurs when we fall asleep. And this growth hormone, the reason it's so important to our body is because it helps maintain our muscle mass as we age. And I know as you know, I've seen within my own family and myself, as I age, my muscle mass basically pretty much decreases. And the reason for that is that insulin, by eating, we create insulin in the hours immediately before sleep, if we have a bedtime snack. And the insulin will shut down that important burst of growth hormones that at night. And shutting down the growth hormone on a regular basis makes it difficult to maintain muscle mass. And I found that true in two reasons. One, I am sleeping better, and I think Ruth has talked about that also. The other thing that I was doing, making some changes, is I was giving my insulin just before I went to bed. And I'm still on insulin a little bit, but I didn't realize that what I'm doing, that's counterintuitive to what I'm wanting my body to do. I do need the growth hormones because of the muscle masses. The other thing that leptin cycles do is that the second reason for the adult is to give up bedtime snacks involves the hormone leptin. Now, what leptin does in our body is our fat cells use leptin to communicate with the brain about our energy stores. When fat stores are high, and our fat cells secrete more leptin. Now, the reason it does that, it gives a signal to the brain to decrease appetite and turn up our metabolism, and that way we can afford to burn fat. So at night, even though we're not exercising or moving around or doing the things that we feel that we need to do to burn fat, leptin is very important, because if the leptin does what it's supposed to do, it sends that signal to that body that it increases metabolism as we sleep. So basically, when fat stores are low, less leptin is produced. And the brain turns up appetite and then turns down metabolism, so our energy stores will last longer. Leptin levels begin to rise in the evening, and as levels rise, appetite decreases. And then leptin reaches a peak at about bedtime. So that's the reason it's important to have those snacks. Not to have that snack just before don't eat before 2 or 3 hours before bedtime. Then as nighttime progresses, great things happen, leptin declines in our body. And as dawn approaches, the brain turns up the appetite and turns down the metabolism in response to the drop in leptin levels. This triggers a desire to eat breakfast. And I know sometimes, you know, I've gotten up over sometimes in my life that I just wasn't hungry in the morning. I just felt like I didn't want to eat, you know, it wasn't important to eat breakfast because I wasn't hungry. And there again, it all goes back. But yet many of us have the opposite hunger pattern. No matter how large our dinner, no matter how many fats we have stored in our body, we crave something to eat before bed. And that's, again, why it's not important. And I think understanding that also that leptin, daily rhythm, it's tied to other hormones, and that one hormone is melatonin. And when our leptin levels aren't right or they're out of whack because of the way we're eating and the times that we're eating, then that's the reason that sometimes our body can't be as healthy, basically, as it needs to be. Now, the other thing I want to talk to you about real quick, and that's why potatoes and sprouted corn tortillas count as grains instead of pretty much protein. Potatoes are vegetables that contain some valuable nutrients. However, they are high glycemic. And I was going to talk about the glycemic values today, and so we better understand that, and what basically carbohydrates do in our body, and how certain foods increase. I'll say this much about it. What basically glycemic level does is certain carbohydrates that we eat digest quicker in our body, which turn that digestion process and the carbohydrate into sugars. The lower the glycemic level, it doesn't digest as fast, which doesn't release that sugar and glucose into our body. So that's one of the reasons that the potatoes in the morning and that sort of thing need to be considered, and I basically have taken that pretty much out of my diet for in the morning. So I hope some of that has either confused you and put you more in what the heck's going on, and or it's going to give you a little bit more understanding of basically the reasons on why we should eat proportionately. Why? Because it's better for our health. It keeps our insulin levels at a more level approach, and particularly those of us that are diabetics, that's what we need to try to accomplish. And by eating the right foods, then we don't need to take as much insulin. For those people that have low blood sugar levels, it might be a good reason to understand on why that low blood sugar occurs is because maybe we don't go for a little while and not having food to eat, and then we start feeling dizzy or we start feeling fatigued or whatever. So that's why it's so important to eat proportionally, because our eating that we do on a daily basis pretty much controls how our body functions, and how it's either functioning the way it needs to function, or if we're at war again, as Ruth has said, with ourselves, and then when we have war within ourselves, then our health deteriorates. So does anybody have anything you'd like to say, or any questions you might have at this time?
So, Monty, I have a couple of questions. First, I wanted to say, as a type 2 diabetic, and you used to take insulin before you went to bed, but now you're not taking that anymore. And how does that affect you throughout the night and the next morning?
Well, one of the things it does is that in the next morning, my blood sugars are a whole lot lower. In other words, yesterday morning when I took my blood, it was 110. Now, for me, being a diabetic, sometimes I'll wake up and my blood sugars are 160, 170. Now, that's pretty high. Okay? But now that I've brought that insulin back to taking it prior to eating my food, then that basically helps it slows down the glucose. My blood sugars don't jump as high as they normally would. They stay more fluctuate and more level, because anytime you put food in your body, you do, for people that are healthy and are not diabetics, that they basically secrete the insulin. So when I have to supplement, that is what I have to do. Okay? So it's brought my levels of insulin levels down, my blood sugars down, I'm finding I'm sleeping better, and I do feel more energized in the morning when I wake up, instead of being so basically lethargic.
That seems pretty amazing.
Well, I guess in reading this book and the things we've done over the years and whatever, I've understood and understand how what we're teaching and you're teaching and how you're putting us on the right track, and other people that host the program or just speak up every once in a while and tell us how they feel about something. It's just so important to know that we're headed in the right direction. And I feel this way. I don't care if you're the healthiest person in the world, or whether you're the most unhealthy, or whether you're the most overweight, or whether you're the most balanced in weight, or whether you're the most skinniest. I believe this program is for everybody, and I think a lot of people are missing a lot of good things, because when I get into the glycemic levels of food, on one of our other calls, we're going to find out that in most cases, the foods that we've been eating, in particular the foods that we're feeding our children, especially in the morning, are absolutely unbeneficial. And why our children, if they would eat more on an alkaline acid balance, and that's one of the things we teach, but eat more type of foods that are lower in glycemic values, the better they'll when they go to school, or even when in just around the house, they'll be more calmer, mm-hmm. and they'll basically learn better than if they were having those ups and downs of those sugar shots of insulin in our bodies. Whether we're a diabetic or not, insulin plays a very important part in our body. And if we control that and get it on that flat level basis, we'll be amazed how much that'll help us.
So, Monty, I wanted to be sure have this straight too. So low glycemic means it has more fiber, so that's better, and it holds us longer. Is that correct? The low glycemic foods.
The low glycemic foods, just the base, yes, you're right. But what it does, it just, in the digesting process, okay, it doesn't digest as fast, which doesn't then release the sugars that are in foods, okay, the glucose that's in our food. And when the quicker a carbohydrate digests within the body, the higher the glycemic. That's why you can eat beans. Beans are very low. Now I'm getting into this again, but beans are very low in glycemic level value, okay? And what that does, you can eat beans, and sometimes because beans digest slower than other type of carbohydrates, that means you're not going to get the fluctuation of that sugar and things into your body that we normally would. You eat a high glycemic food, then pretty much that sugar is going to slam in there, and that's when your insulin levels are going to jump up. You're going to get that adrenaline rush. You're going to get, you feel great. You have great energy and everything else. But all of a sudden, 2 hours later, bam, you hit the wall again, and all of a sudden you start feeling fatigued. You start feeling funny, or you might start getting a headache, you know, and things like that. And that's all because the level of insulin within our body is just, and the adrenaline levels and the sugars are spiking.
So that would be just like eating refined sugar, and that would be the refined rice and our refined white flour. All those pasta and all those products are being made out of that. So those would be the high glycemic, pretty much then, right?
Pretty much, yes. It's like if you take a glycemic level, they measure from 0 to 100 as an example. And a lot of people think, you know, like for particular rice as an example, and particularly white steamed rice, absolutely turns to sugar so fast it'll blow your mind. A rice cake, you know, I've eaten rice cakes before. You know, they even have them in different flavors. I've eaten it. But on the level, it's from 0 to 100, it's 80. It's very, very high. And that's why we can once understand it. And, there's, 3,200 some types of different foods? Well, it's going to be hard to understand glycemic levels. But if you're interested in that type of thing and you want to eat better and more beneficial to the body, you'll understand that the lower the glycemic level of the food that you're eating is, the better off it's going to be. It's just like the difference between acid and alkaline. The more alkaline food you eat, the better you're going to be. You're going to be in a balance. And that's what we want, is we don't necessarily just want to go around eating low glycemic foods, because the theory of what we're teaching is for our body to be neutral between acid and alkaline, and we're teaching the same thing with low glycemic to high glycemic. Now, if you have a high glycemic food along with a low glycemic food, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to come out more level or more moderate, because they counteract one another and it brings the glycemic level down. And we get more into what I call the neutral stage or the natural stage. The same way, difference between eating alkaline food and acid food. And if we can just get that neutrality to where it needs to be in the middle, to where we need to be, and a little bit, maybe a little bit more alkaline than we're acid, we're going to see tremendous things happen within our body. You know, it's just like I got excited the other day. Matter of fact, it was Wednesday morning. I went to put my shoes on, and I didn't have to use my shoehorn. Now, to a lot of people, they go, why would you use a shoehorn? Well, why? Because my feet swell. But because of the way that I'm now eating, that inflammation is leaving my body just strictly because of the foods I'm eating. And when little things like that that we have happen to us, we don't think about it. You know, just little things can give us guidance and know that we're on the right track again to doing what we need to do. And when we know we're on that right track, psychologically, our mind, and like Martha Sue says, when you make certain choices, you know you're making wrong choices or right choices. And when you know you're making a right choice and your body is feeling better, that's exciting. Mary Lou out walking 3 miles. 58 minutes. That means she's walking a mile in 19.20 seconds every mile. Now, how many steps that is, I don't know. But she's taking a lot of steps. She's moving. Now, is that beneficial? You bet it's beneficial. It doesn't matter whether you're out walking 5 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever. The more you do something, the more beneficial it is to her body. And Mary Lou and her husband are very comfortable with what they're doing. I think that's absolutely great. She's headed again, what? In the right direction. And that's what the whole program's about. Being in the right direction, eating the right foods, thinking the right way, getting the right proper sleep, drinking the amount of water that our body needs. Why do we call them supplements? Why do we take supplements? Because it supplements the food that we're eating, doesn't necessarily give us all the things we need, so we supplement by taking nutrition. And I'm getting off here now into something else, but...
Hey, I wanted to say that this chart that is on the screen right now has the food blocks in it according to a pretty close in the location where it is, on the top being favorable carbohydrates. These are the little blocks. So that will tell you that because it's on the top and it says favorable, those are the lower glycemic. And on the bottom, they're pretty much the higher glycemic foods. And they are on the Whitey Herten website, for those of you who are not on the WebEx. You can look at them on our Whitey Herten site and print them off if you like. There's this one for the carbohydrates and this one for the proteins. This is not so much the glycemic load, it's just other factors like besides the protein foods, like the amount of fat and several different things on that one. But particularly on the carbs, that's how that's located. And then, as Monty was talking about, then we also have the chart for balancing our acid alkalinity factor, and that's on the website. Also, I noted on our chat, if you're not on our mailing list, on our health style mailing list, and want to get recipes and announcements, send your request into gmail.com. And that is N-O-T, period, Hurton, H-U-R-T-N, @gmail.com. Wow, what a great job, Monty. Thank you very much.
I want to say to everybody out there, thanks for being here. You're headed in the right direction. And I'm just excited about each and every one of you.
Once again, because you'll be wanting people to listen to this recording. It is on allswell.org. That is allswell.org. Health style.
Monty, this is Martha Sue. You are the best. I'm telling you what, I'm so glad this call is recorded because you just covered it all in 30 minutes. That is just so super.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But again, it's just knowledge that I'm receiving by the books I'm reading. This one that we're talking about now, the Abascal Way, it's quite inflation, and to a lot of the information I get from you folks out there. You know, when you speak up or you host a call or somebody says something, there's a nugget in everything. And it might not be a whole lot of nuggets in what you've just listened to, but it might be just one nugget that somebody has said, whether you're a host or not, that can be beneficial to people. You know, it's just like the other day, I forget who it was, spoke up, and a lot of good information came from that. And so we're just really excited about that and want people to know that if they have questions or want to speak up or do whatever, you know, that's what we're here for. We're here to support that.
Did you change the time that you took your insulin, the intake, after you read her book?
Exactly. When I read that one little bit, when I talked about leptin, on how what it does to our body in regards to what insulin does to our body and what leptin does, that how it decreases or increases our body, but better than, more so than that, that insulin doesn't allow my body to get the growth hormone that it needs in order to have better muscle mass. Now, as somebody at my age, and I'm not ashamed of my age, I'm a young 70, but the whole point of it is that I'm up there. I'm not 25 no more. I'm not 50. I'm not 60. I'm 70. So I need to take advantage of everything that I possibly can to make sure that my body stays in what it needs to be. And one of the most important things for us that are on the higher scale of 0 to 100, we need muscle mass. Because one of the things we don't do, unfortunately, is we don't keep moving the lot that we're supposed to do. So muscle mass is important. But one of the greatest muscles of our body is our heart. That sucker sits there and pumps how many times? How many gallons of blood on an hourly basis through our body? That's muscle. And when we don't eat right, or we don't exercise, and we don't sleep good, and we don't do the things we got to do, and particularly when it comes to leptin and insulin, that's why when I went from changing my times that I took my insulin, that did two things. That allowed my blood sugars not to be as high at night or get spiked after I eat my meal and then take my insulin before bedtime, okay? But it also allowed my body to allow those leptin and things to do what they need to do. So I'm not fighting my body no more. It's kind of like when Ruth talks about foreign invaders. You know, everything we put in our body is either going to be a good for us, in our favor, or it's going to be our enemy. Made in my life and, you know, over the last year have been enemies. I've allowed them into my body. I need to fight those things now. And by learning these things through reading this book and the call, it's just knowledge. And knowledge is important. Knowledge is great, but if we don't take advantage of that knowledge, it's worthless.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bridget from 40.
Hi.
Thanks, Mom.
Hi, this is Mary Lou.
Yes?
Can you hear me? Okay, thank you very much, Marty. Boy, you made me understand leptin better than anybody I've always tried to figure out exactly what that does. So I'll be listening to this call all over again. One thing I did want to mention this morning, you guys, I know most of you personally, so I'm going to ask you to keep Mary's husband, Jim Dean, in your prayers this morning. He's having a cardiac cath. And some of you are on my prayer warriors list, but please pray that his arteries are clean. And maybe she says the second best, only needing a stent or two, because she can't even imagine him having to go through bypass surgery and recovery. So if you keep Mary Dean's husband, Jim, in your prayers this morning, I'd really appreciate it. And she would, too.
She'll be done.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary Lou. I was thinking about putting that on the chat, but I didn't get it done.
Okay.
Any other comments before we wrap it for the week?
Have a good, great weekend.
Carry what you've learned during the week onto the weekend. You'll be headed in the right direction. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.